This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Philip. The EPF this week revealed that the majority of its members are now at risk of falling into old age poverty, no thanks to the multiple COVID-19 withdrawals over the past 2 years. In order for members to recover the loss of savings from those withdrawals, the EPF says they would need to work an extra 4 to 6 years.
To put things into perspective, EPF Chairman Tan Sri Ahmad Badri Mohamad Zahi said the median savings for all EPF members below age 55 stands at 13,000 ringgit, which translates to 54 ringgit a month for their retirement years.
Wow.
Economists are of the opinion that the problem of having insufficient retirement savings has been a long-standing issue with the rising cost of living and wasteful spending habits. They add that the problem is not caused solely by the pandemic and are calling for an extensive overhaul of the current retirement savings system.
But how do we change the system for better retirement security for all Malaysians is the question. So for some potential solutions, we're speaking this morning to Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for joining us. So in recent op-eds, you've argued that working beyond the retirement of 60 years won't actually solve the issue of retirement income. So why do you say that? Working longer isn't the solution?
Well, the way to understand that is just to work out how much you could save during those extra... Let's say you worked an extra 5 years after the 60-year limit, and then you asked yourself the question, how much can I feasibly save during that extra 5 years? If you look at median wages, that's only at the moment a little bit over 2,000 ringgit, 2,062 ringgit during 2020. And if you looked at average wages, then they're just a little bit under 3,000 ringgit a month, with 2,922 ringgit per month. So if you were working for an extra 5 years and you were on the median salary or the average salary and you were saving the normal amount of savings for EPF, for example, 11% from an employee and 13% from the employer, around 24%. You did that for 5 years. The total amount of money that you would save, spread out over the remainder of your life in retirement, would give you only about 165 ringgit per month if you're on the median salary, and only 235 ringgit per month if you're on the average salary. So if you added that into your 54 ringgit per month that you have already on median or average savings already, you're really not getting enough by working those extra 5 years. It's just not enough time for you to save a significant amount of money. And what's more, you would basically have to save all of your salary during that time. Even then, you wouldn't have enough. So that's why it doesn't work in a Malaysian context. If salaries and wages were higher, okay, you might have a chance of that, but they're not. We have to be realistic about where they are.
Yeah, and Jeffrey, you proposed a universal basic pension scheme to be adopted. What exactly is this?
Well, the current pension scheme is basically a contributory scheme, and it's based on the idea that you earn wages and salaries during your working life and you make contributions regularly. If you're able to do that and you work from, say, you get a job when you're 20 and you work until you're 60 and you have 40 years and you never have any unemployment, you never take time out to build a family, you never take time out to go into training or education, and you never become unemployed, then you can contribute the normal 24% over that 40 years of work life, and then you get a really nice, but you get a really a minimum threshold amount when you're 60 to retire. But that's all on the basis of contributions. Now, what we know from what the EPF are telling us and when we look at the data, people just aren't able to make those contributions consistently. We have a withdrawal system in the EPF, so even if they've made contributions, they've taken out. And in the end, where we wind up is they don't have enough money in their funds through a contributory system. A universal basic pension would give them a pension whether they contributed or not. And it would give them a minimum threshold income every month during their period of retirement from the age of 60. And that minimum income would be available to everybody, whether they were in work or out of work, whether they contributed or whether they didn't contribute. And the aim of the universal basic pension would be to end poverty in old age. That would be the primary aim to do that.
So it's a gap filler and a top up, essentially, for those who are not working. Can I just get your thoughts? How do we make this work? One of your suggestions was to combine the existing pension funds, QAP and EPF, for example. Can you give us a sense how to make that? How does that work?
Well, I've suggested a number of different options. One is that it can be paid directly from normal government spending, or it can be paid by a redistributive tax on the higher income groups. But one alternative, which doesn't involve either of those things, is to create what one might call a Malaysian super fund. The Malaysian super fund would combine the existing government pension schemes, EPF, nearly ₱1 trillion, KWAP has 140 billion, and then even LTAT has about 10 billion. If you were to combine all of that, you would get a fund of about 1.2 trillion ringgit. And if that were to deliver a 5% return every year, you would have 60 billion. Now, if you look at the number of people who are in retirement, currently it's about 3.6 million people. If we think that 70% of them have inadequate pensions, you do some very swift calculations about that. You could set up a Malaysian super fund at 5% return with 60 billion a year, and you could give 70% of pensioners a pension, a universal basic pension of 2,000 ringgit a month.
It sounds very attractive, Jeffrey, but what are the challenges involved in actually implementing this type of scheme and this type of super fund? Is it actually a realistic proposal for the near future?
Okay, well, I think when we think about realistic or not, we have to look at it in two senses. If we look at the design of the policy and the way it could be managed from a financial perspective, actually it's perfectly realistic because Malaysian pension fund managers, particularly the government pension fund managers, are fantastic at managing these funds.
So can we...
Of course, just to say, sorry, I'm sorry. Yeah. Of course, we need to protect the concerns of existing pension account holders. Of course, the primary concern of any pension is to look after the interests of the members. I think that's the biggest challenge, which is just to reassure people that any shift and any change in the way that the pension fund is being managed isn't going to harm them. That's an important point that we have to make. And I think that there are ways that we can get around that. It's an important communications and stakeholder engagement process. But I think that would be the biggest challenge. The other big challenge is for the politicians to do it.
But can you help me understand, because with this universal fund, there has to be incremental monies that are put in. How does the integration of super fund actually help? Does it just reduce the cost of managing it? Or do you have enough skill now to deliver higher returns? What actually drives a higher return for you to do these top-ups then?
Well, you would get a bigger fund, a bigger total fund, and then you can improve the management and efficiency of the management of the fund to be able to give good returns to people who have money in their accounts already, but then also to give a pension option to people who haven't been able to contribute or haven't been able or have seen the amount in their accounts falling below what would be required for a good return. The whole idea is that you would move away from this idea that you get paid out only what you put in, and you would move toward a universal system, which is to say that you're part of the entire fund and you will receive money according to your capacity to pay in, recognizing that that capacity can, for various reasons outside of your control, be unstable sometimes.
So just so let me understand the numbers again. Just now we said 54 a month. Then with the extension of 5 years, add another 250. But with this super fund, how much can we get in terms of retirement and extra?
Well, if you had a super fund of 1.2 trillion and you invested that at 5%, you would have 60 billion, right? And if you divided that by about 2.5 million pensioners who we calculate have inadequate pension, that would give them 2,000 ringgit a month.
Jeffrey, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, discussing how a combined super fund could help replenish pension funds for Malaysians more broadly. Interesting proposal there. It remains to be seen whether this is something that's actually being taken up by policymakers. But I'm really glad that there's a lot of discussion on how to overhaul the retirement system, because I do think we need reforms.
There has to be a discussion, because if we ran a poll this morning. How concerned are you about your ability to retire? Nearly 44% of you said they are somewhat because I'm saving now, but nearly a quarter of you said I'm very worried because I cannot afford my retirement.
Yeah, I mean, I have a conceptual disagreement with the discussion because it presupposes the assumption that your retirement should be outsourced to a third party or to the government or some institution. I think people have the autonomy to say, I'm going to take control of my retirement. I'm going to learn about the financial system and learn about returns and investments. And, you know, I think maybe perhaps more importantly, to look after one's health, because when you analyze getting old, a large part of your costs will be healthcare, right? If you got diabetes or high blood pressure or some other disorders, kidney problems, liver problems, that's where a lot of your costs are going to be. So if you take control of your health now, maybe you don't have to spend the kind of money when you're older.
I mean, that's a fair point to make, Chuang, but I would also argue that that presupposes that financial literacy is established fairly early on in one's life, where you actually are aware of these decisions that you can make to safeguard your retirement. A lot of the time, though, people, if they're living day to day, they don't think about these things. They're just thinking, how am I going to survive today? And we see on our poll that 21% of you are just saying, I'm just trying to survive day to day. I can't even think about what's going to happen to me 20, 30 years down the line.
And to be fair, there are private retirement schemes in this country.
Yeah.
But as you said, right, due to the financial literacy concern, the take-up isn't just up there.
Yeah, it's an education. And, you know, it's incumbent upon every individual to have that education.
So, I mean, I think there's merit in maybe policy trying to instill financial literacy early on. I want to talk about a breakfast grill that I had last month with Hawati Abdul Hamid of Khazanah Research Institute and Dr. Sun Ting Kwe, the president of the National Council of Senior Citizens Organizations Malaysia. We discussed what kind of social protection overhaul is needed for Malaysia's aging nation. Khazanah Research has a very interesting proposal about social insurance pension. If you want to know more about that, do listen to The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.